Of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches. Stay tuned and focused and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your hand of mercy that touched us. We thank you, Lord, for your finger of love that saved and healed us. Father God, we thank you for your grace that's sufficient for us. The strength you give us that we have when we're weak. We thank you, Lord, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. We thank you, God, that you woke us again with your spirit and breath by blowing it into our life. We thank you now that you spoke a word that healed us and delivered us and set us free. We thank you, God. We magnify your name. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask you, Lord God, to just touch us, God, on today. Give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let me speak a word into the ears of your people that would encourage, that would enlighten, that would ensure them of their salvation and their peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you now. Do what you want to do in this place, God. However you want to do it, we'll satisfy. We praise you, Lord. Father, we ask you now, God, just have your way in this place. Have your way in this place, God, to sinners are converted, to the discouraged are encouraged, to the depressed and the oppressed are freed, to the possessed are delivered. Have your way in this place, oh God, until you are satisfied. Father, we'll be careful to give you the glory, honor, the praise. We'll be careful, God, to magnify your name in the time. And we will join in with the many winged seraphim and the many eyed cherubim and declare one to another that you are holy, God. You are holy, God. You are holy. And your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to use an orthodox thought title, tag, I guess you could say, to this message and the subtitle. Going through by yourself. Going through by yourself. Now, subtitle, look at somebody and say, the subtitle is, but I'll be all right. Verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. He said, I'm going a little further. He said, I'm gonna go away from them because I can't stand all this crying and carrying on. Amen. Because it's gonna break my heart. Because he is love. And so he couldn't stand all that crying. He said, I'm gonna go just a little bit further so I can get a clear head and so I can speak to my Father. At some time we ought to withdraw ourselves from the crowd and pray. Now let me tell you something. Now the Holy Ghost is not conflicting, because the Holy Ghost is not going to tell you to stay home and pray when church is going on when he's speaking. Yeah, because I know some of y'all say, that's why I ain't going to church. I'm going to stay home and pray and get myself together. And let me tell you something. You can't get yourself together. And you need all the words you can get together. So when it's time to pray, you can pray his language and his word. All right. So he went, he withdrew himself. He got away from them just far enough that he can not be bothered by their crying. Now, he says in verse 41 says he kneeled down and prayed. Now, I'm going to tell you something just in my own time. I said, well, Lord, you know, I was dealing with something, you know, mentally how the devil tried to wear you out. And I said, Lord, well, I guess I'm just going to pray right here. And then he said, no, he said, get up, humble yourself and pray. And I noticed he said, get up, humble yourself. And in order to go down, you got to first get up. Amen. And in order for us to really have an effective prayer life, we have to get up from doubt. We have to get up from depression. We have to get up and get down and humble ourselves. he kneeled down and he prayed. And he withdrew himself a stone cast. And verse 42 says, he said, Father, if thou be willing. Now look at this. This is his prayer. He prayed, Father, if thou be willing. He's not, look, and some people say, well, you know, he was asking God to do opposite of what he knew God had told him to do. But in reality, we got to understand who Jesus was. Jesus was as much God as he was man. That the word is called the anthropos, meaning that he is as much God as he was man. He was human, but yet he had a divine nature also. Amen? And let me tell you how. He was so divine that he turned water into wine, but he was so human that he had times when he said, I thirst, preach. He was so divine that he was able to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he was so human that before he raised him, the scripture says Jesus wept. Preach. He was so divine that he was able to feed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 barley loaves, but he was so human that he said he was tired, so he went to sleep on the boat. Preach. Y'all don't hear me now. And so he was still as much God as he was man. He was theanthropos, but yet he prayed. He says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. He said, now, I'm not asking anything outside of your will. But what I'm feeling right now is really, really hard. What I'm feeling right now is really, really strain on me. It's a struggle for me. So whatever your will, if there's anything in your will that at this moment I don't have to drink this cup. Amen. Amen. Now, your afflictions ain't but a cup. Yeah. Amen. So if you drink them, you'll pass them. Yeah. Oh, okay. Nevertheless, listen what he said. Nevertheless, we don't ever want the less. We always want the more. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be what? So Jesus said, I don't want anything less than your will for my life. But sometimes his will means that we're going to have to suffer. Sometimes his will means that we're going to go through trials. Sometimes his will means that his things are not going to go our way. Sometimes his will means that what I want is not what he wants. Tell somebody, what you want is not what God wants. So not my will, God, but thine will be done. Do I have anybody? Oh, he began to pray, and he prayed fervently. He prayed to a point that he was earnest in his prayer. Amen? He was so earnest in his prayer. Let's look at verse number 44. We're skipping 43 for a reason. Verse 44 says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. He because he was in a strain, because he was in a struggle, he prayed more earnestly. How many of us say, I just don't know if I can pray? When we get in agony, when we, let me tell you what, let me get a little more detail here. We look at this, he's talking about not only his prayer, but he's talking about his pain, all right? He prayed fervently, and we know that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, what? Avails much. And so he was praying, and he still had pain. How about when you pray and your pain's still there? How about when you pray and your trial's still in your face? How about when you pray and they still lie on you? Preach. How about when you pray and they still don't like you? How about when you pray and they still haven't forgiven you? How about when you pray and your bills still due and you still don't know where the money's coming from? Can you still keep praying? Lord, have mercy in here. Can you still keep praying and your blood pressure's still high? Can you still keep praying and it seems like the doctor visits ain't getting no better, but you go more to the doctor and it still ain't getting no better? Can you still pray? Lord, have mercy. Yes, Lord. Pray. But look at his pain. The word there, what says that being in agony. Being in agony in the Greek is ginominos in agonia. What that means is that he got to a place where it was a gradual pain, a gradual weight. At first it was heavy, then it got real heavy, and it got even more heavy. The more he prayed, the heavier it got. The more he prayed, the harder it was. The more he prayed, the more he felt the pressure of what he was about to face. Nobody in here can know you about to die and face it with a smile, huh? Nobody in here can know you're about to go through some agony and some pain, that your skin is going to be ripped from your body. Your face is going to be beaten to the point that nobody will recognize you. And you're going to sit there and say, I would have prayed and been all right. No, you wouldn't. Quit lying to yourself. You would have been just like him. You would have been under so much pressure. Look at this. His body had received so much stress because he was still human that he began to be in so much agony. Now, one scripture tells us in Matthew and Mark, it talks about how he was so under pressure that he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. What happened in the Garden of Gethsemane and what need to happen in your garden when you pray is that you need to die. Preach. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions need to die so that you can be able to go through what God has for you. And when you come out, you'll be like pure gold. Again, let me borrow Job. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He said, when I'm tried, I shall come forth as pure gold because I know my Redeemer lives. Do I have a witness in the house? Oh, yeah. When we look at his pain, when we look at the agony that he was going through, it said that he prayed more earnestly. In other words, the pain that kept gradually getting worse, the agony that kept gradually falling on him, he decided that I'm going to turn up my prayers. Anybody want to turn up with me today in prayer? We need to learn how to turn up our prayer. There ain't no time to back out of prayer. It ain't no time to say you can't pray. That's why your soul needs to die. Now, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, or the place where the olive press, the olive that was being pressed at that moment was his soul. God pressed him. Why? Because when he pressed him, everything that was on the inside of him came out on the outside of him, because what's outside can't handle the outside pressure. What's inside can handle it, but what's outside really can't handle it, because my flesh is frail, because my flesh has faults. I wish I had somebody in here. And so what I have to do is make sure what's on the inside of me is the right stuff. I need to know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's who can handle what outside forces bring against me. Somebody say amen in here. When you understand that the outside forces are going to press against your flesh, he's going to try to make you worry. He's going to try to make you stress out. But I'm too blessed to be stressed because I have a greater one on the inside. Anybody got the Holy Ghost? When you have the Holy Spirit on the inside, whatever attacks you on the outside, the Holy Spirit start moving. And why? Because he wants to expand himself. And you start praying, and more you pray, the more he expands himself. And he said, I'm not just in your heart, but I got you all wrapped up. I done baptized you. You in my bubble now. So whenever they bring that stuff, it'll deflect because of the Holy Ghost. I keep wanting to go there, but y'all ain't ready for it yet. So he says now, he says that he prayed more earnestly, and as it was, his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. Look at this, falling to the ground. The word thrombi in the Greek, it means a thick drop of blood. What that means is that his blood had thickly clotted and it was coming through his expanded pores. What it means is that apparently Jesus was under so much pressure that his capillary veins right under the skin begin to burst, preaching here, and blood mingled with sweat begin to come through his enlarged pores because he was under so much pressure. So it would take Luke, who was a doctor, to know what he was dealing with, that his blood began, I wish I had somebody, he began to explain what was happening to Jesus, that stress. Look at Dr. Luke. He's saying that stress can make your body do some strange thing. I wish I had somebody in the house. He said that stress can make your body do some stuff that it wouldn't normally do under unnormal circumstances. I wish I had a few people in here. Have your body ever did? You just caught a headache right quick when that just, I heard that news and it just threw me back for a loop. I got that in the mail and it just made me just tore my day up and messed me up. You know what? You got sometimes that thing happen, but you still gotta pray. Now, come on. Sometimes you feel like you're going through it by yourself. Jesus had told his disciples, he said, look, I'm gonna go through this and I know y'all gonna leave me, because the scripture already said it. And we gotta know that sometimes that we're gonna go through this by ourselves. Oh, come on and tell somebody, you're gonna go through sometimes by yourself. Come on and say amen. And it says that he had great drops of blood. So the pressure caused something to happen. What was on the inside came to the outside. And it says, and when he arose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. I told you the disciples were crying, and they were so sorrowful that they cried themselves to sleep. You know, instead of praying sometime, we'll just cry ourselves to sleep. Preach. And sometimes crying yourself to sleep, it makes your flesh feel better, but it doesn't change what's going to happen in your life. It doesn't make you stronger, but it lets you rest a little bit, because your body demands for some rest after it's been under so much stress. Preach. Yeah, and he says that in verse 46, he said, why are you sleeping? He said, rise up. Again, I told you, you got to get up to pray. He said, rise up and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Oh, come on and shout amen here. We got to get up and start praying, unless we fail the test that God put before us. Then he tells us, he said, and while he yet spake, see, sometimes we don't even realize it, but while God is speaking to us, the enemy is approaching us. The enemy already has a plot for us. The enemy already conspired on us. And we, while he's speaking to us, the enemy is already devised a plan to try to take you down, to try to take you out. Preach. And so while they were right there in the garden, why are you still in your prayer closet? I better talk to y'all now. Why are you still in your prayer closet? The enemy is devising a plan, because he know you ain't really praying, but you up in there playing. Preach. You want somebody to think you praying. You got the door shut telling the children you praying, but you up in there sleeping because you don't want to be bothered. Preach. I wish I had somebody in the house that realized that you can't play on this time. You can't play when your trials are on the way. You can't pray when the devil is planning an attack for you. You got to go in prayer, and you got to get a strategy from God. How you going to make it through? Oh, glory be to God. Oh, come on and shout amen in here. But he tells them, he said, why he spoke to them. He said that the enemy drew near. And then it was one of the folks that had walked with him. One of the people that was the only one from Judah, by the name of Judas. I wish I had somebody. So guess what? It was a praiser. Come on and say amen. That betrayed him. Somebody who would much rather praise than pray. Preach. Somebody who much rather just make a lot of noise than pray. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, we make a whole lot of noise, but is our noise a prayerful noise? I know we make a joyful noise, but can we make a prayerful noise? Can I get somebody to say amen here? So Judah, which means praise, it was praise that betrayed him. Preaching here. Oh, glory be to God. See, sometimes people tell you all you got to do is praise him, and you're going to make it through your trial. But every time you look at where you people praised them and they made it through a trial, it was because they prayed first. Preach. So praise alone won't get you through your trial. Praise alone won't get you just a deliverance. But you got to make a relationship with God. You got to open up dialogue with him. And when you start praying to God, your prayer turns into a praise. Because when you pray to him, he assures you that it's going to be all right. And when you come out of prayer knowing that it's going to be all right, you start praising. I prayed to the Lord about my sickness, and he told me with his stripes that I was healed. So I came off my knees and I started to praise him. Do I have any witnesses that said I'm going to praise him? But after I pray to him, then I praise him. Oh, come on and shout amen here. there. And the Bible says that it was one of their friends. It was one that he had trusted as a treasure. See, Jesus wasn't as broke as most folks say. He had a treasury department, and the head treasurer was Judas. And see, the reason why Judas was mad with him is because Jesus rebuked him once when the woman came in with the alabaster box, and Jesus said it in his heart. And see, he shouldn't have been mad with God, because God knows what your heart's thinking anyway. I wish I had somebody in the house. And see, he said it in his heart. He said, she wasted that. That could have been sold, and we could have got the money off of it. Preach. And when God, when Jesus knew his heart, he said that, why you say that in your heart? She's done it for the preparation of my body. I wish I had somebody. He said, you're going to have the poor with you always. And so he rebuked him right there, and he got mad. Even though he didn't say, Judas, I'm rebuking you, but he said it, and Judas knew he was wrong. You see, sometime when you're preaching, Pastor Holden talking to himself now, Pastor Holden, sometime when you're preaching, you may not even know, say it directly to the person, but they get mad with you because they think you talking about them. Honey, it's just the Lord. The Lord know your little seed in your heart. The Lord know you messy, so he gives a correction. The Lord knows that you gossip, so he tell you about yourself. The Lord know you look at the pastor sideways when he don't do what you want him to do, how you want him to do it. He knows that you think you can do better than what somebody else has done. But let me tell you, he didn't tell you to do it. It wasn't your season, and it wasn't your turn. So step back and let God do what he wants to do. Come on and shout yes. So Jesus knew what he was thinking, and he rebuked him in front of everybody. Even though he didn't call his name, he got mad with Jesus, and he went to the high priest after that. Preach. Oh, come on and say amen in here. You see, some of your closest friends, some people that you think love you, even though you try to do all you can, even though you feed them like Jesus did, even though you wash their feet like Jesus did, they still will betray you with a kiss. They'll come up and they'll kiss you on the cheek and stab you in the back. They'll come up and kiss you on the cheek, and they just sold you out. They've been around some people that's been talking about you, and they just sit there and say, you better stop shaking your head and tell them your devil is a lie. I'm not going to let you talk about my sister. I'm not going to let you talk about my brother. I'm not going to agree with you. Maybe you and them got a problem, but me and him ain't got no trouble. I wish I had somebody that say, I'm going to stop today letting these folks talk about my homeboys and my homegirls, my church brothers and my church sisters. Do I have anybody? Oh, I got to preach another service. I got to save something. Do I have anybody that say, I'm going to stop that mess. I'm going to put them in their place. And if they betray me, that's all right, because I need to be betrayed so I can go to the cross. I ain't ready to go there yet. Oh, glory be to God. I told you I skipped verse 43 for a reason. I intentionally skipped the verse so I can go back and show you something that even though you might be going through by yourself, and when you're praying at a place by yourself, don't nobody know what you're going through. But the Bible says in verse 43 that there appeared an angel that came to strengthen him. Do you know what he's saying? He said that God always sends a message with strength. So it doesn't matter who, and it doesn't matter why they left you. Doesn't matter if you're going through by yourself, but God is always with you. He told us in his word, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you, but I'll be with you even to the end of the world. Do I have anybody that say, I'm going through by myself, but I'll be all right? Tell somebody. Tell three people on your row. Say, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Come on and say yes. You see why you're slumbering and why they're sleeping. The Bible tells me that we have a God that don't sleep, nor does he slumber. I wish I had somebody. God sits high and he looks low. In other words, he oversees my trouble. He oversees my pain. Do I have a witness? You got a storm in your life. The Bible tells us that God's foot is on every storm. He's on the clouds. When they roll in your life, he sends the sunshine and he sends the rain. So I know that it's going to be all right. So now let me close this message. I'm going to close my little book here. The Bible says that after they arrested Jesus, that Peter pulled out his sword and he tried to cut the man's head off. And as the man ducked, Peter caught his ear. His ear went flying in the air. Jesus caught the ear, said, put your sword up, because we want them to be able to hear. Put the ear back on. Do I have a witness? What am I saying? Some of us are like Peter, ready to cut somebody's head off. But Jesus said, put up your sword so they might hear a word. Anybody in the house say they need to hear a word? I'm about to go through. Jesus went to the cross, but the Bible says that after he left the garden, that they took him and tried him. Then they put him on the cross. But the reason he was in the garden, so that what was on the inside can be pressed to the outside. He was so awed down with the presence of God that when he went to the cross, come on and shout yes, that the pain that he was in didn't make him cry. He had already died in the garden. I wish I had somebody, but he was just holding up until they lifted him up. And the Bible says that he died. Somebody say he died. I say he died, but early, way before early came. The Bible says that he was so all down with the presence of God. He was so anointed that he didn't need a key. He slipped right into Sheol, the place of the righteous dead, and he took captivity captive. He all down Abraham. He all down David. He all down Moses and said, y'all oily enough and y'all slick enough that we don't need a key. Faith is the key. Let's slide back to the grave. Do I have any witnesses? And they say, on the third day, early, say early, early Sunday morning, he got up. And John said, the dead rose with him. Somebody say yes. He rose from the dead with all power. Somebody say all power. Power to make you a son. Power to heal you. Power to save you. Somebody say yeah. Shout yes. Won't God do it? Won't God do it? Won't he make a way out of no way when you go through by yourself? Won't it be a bridge over troubled water? Won't he do it? Won't he be a heart fixer and a mind regulator? I say, won't he, won't he? Tell somebody, won't he do it? Say, won't he, will he? Will he, won't he? Somebody say yes. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out. Somebody say hallelujah. Wait, I got some young people in here. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, I want to turn up. Somebody say yes. I want a praise party. Say yes. Anybody want a praise party? Shout glory. Shout glory. Hallelujah. Say yes. I'm about to close. So tell your neighbor, you've been sitting on pastor while he preaching to you. Time to get up and close the message, because we got to go on to another service in a bit. But let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus? If you don't know him, you better tell your neighbor. Say, if you don't know him, you better get to know him. Because perilous